And so, do you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We're coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. Happy 2020 to everybody out there in the underground who's listening in. I know we're a little bit late at getting you those salutations or whatever the fuck you call them, but this is our first episode of 2020. And I know that's also a little bit reflective of the fact that we've been negligent in getting you episodes as quickly and as frequently as we would like and you would like and whatever. But we're changing that this year. It's a new year. It's a new dispatches. We're recommitting ourselves to our initial endeavor. I know in the last couple of years, look, we've done some incredible fucking interviews with some heavyweights in the underground. I love a ton of the stuff we've been putting out in the last couple of years. We've covered a lot of important topics in those interviews, but we've also had to overlook some issues that didn't quite fit into those interviews. And while I'm incredibly proud of those episodes and those interviews, we started this podcast with a clear goal. We wanted to dig deep down into the underground and get a better grip on the perspectives that move us toward the world we want to live in. Wanted to challenge the mainstream and get a hold of conscious reflection, encourage conscious reflection in ourselves and the people around us and the people who listen to this podcast. And obviously, we also want to do a healthy amount of shit talking and all that, which we have done very well. But we just feel like we've lost a little bit of perspective in what we're doing by focusing too much on interviews and spending too much time getting them and producing them and so on. So we're going to step back. We're going to get back to our roots here. We're going to recommit ourselves to having more episodes that focus on topics, topical issues, and discussion that help us reflect and get a grip on the perspectives that we think are correct. Or even if they're not correct, we just want to get a better, healthier dose of perspective shifting. Obviously, we're coming at this from a radical left-wing place, anti-capitalist, if you were. We don't expect everyone to agree with us. We never have. We never will. We just want to encourage healthy, conscious thought. So we're going to have more episodes, still a lot of interviews, but a lot more episodes that are not interviews. And in our first episode of 2020, we wanted to make sure we started off on the right foot. Or whatever, or the left foot, whatever, however you want to put that. It's our first episode of 2020, our new recommitted dispatchers from the underground, digging down deeper into those issues that are confronting us and trying to figure out how we can get a perspective that helps move us forward to a place we actually want to live in and not this disgusting piece of shit society we're presented with. So in order to do that, we're bringing someone who's been on the show many times before, our good friend and our collective member, Lauren. She's been out of the country for a while, which is why it took us a little bit of time to get to this episode. But starting this new year, this new direction, this rededication off with the right person was really important to us. So we're bringing Lauren on to do this discussion. She's going to be on many more times to come in the very near future. And we're very excited. She's brilliant. She's got a ton of perspective. She disagrees with me about almost everything. And she's very sharp with it. And so I'm super excited to have Lauren on this particular episode and many more episodes to come. We're going to be talking about this endless election cycle that we're stuck in, this bourgeois politics that we're confronted with constantly in the mainstream. I don't even know if we're like at the beginning of election cycle or at the end of an election cycle. It's a little bit hard to figure all that shit out. It just seems like it's nonstop. But we actually haven't talked a ton about bourgeois politics, mainstream politics on this show. We're going to be doing a little bit more of it. It's not going to be everything that we do on this show. But there's so many people who are invigorated by the politics that are happening in the mainstream. I don't know if that's good or if that's bad, but there's people who want to talk about Trump. There's people who want to talk about Bernie. There's people who want to talk about Elizabeth Warren. And I feel like sometimes in the underground, we get frustrated with that because it's like, you know, these mainstream conversations are ignoring like the deeper issues that are really affecting a lot of our lives, like capitalism or, you know, the falsehoods that inherent in democracy and all these other things. And we're going to talk a little bit about those things in the bigger picture of this. But I also feel like we're missing something when we can't engage in these issues. Or if we simply engage in the issues of bourgeois politics as like, who are you going to vote for? Or something like that. I think that we're missing out by not being able to talk about these issues, not only with those people who are excited about these issues, people who are excited about Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, or if there is someone excited about Joe Biden, then people who are excited about Joe Biden. I think we're missing out being able to talk to them, but also amongst ourselves. Like, these issues that they raise, are there real issues? Are we missing something? Are we not appreciating the things that they're talking about because these bourgeois politicians, they just so simply don't reflect the outlook in the world that we want to be part of? Anyway, that's some of the things we're going to be talking about on this episode. There's so many assumptions. There's so much shit that the pundits, the talking heads out there, they take for granted when they spin the news, things that we're supposed to assume about the political process in the United States, things that the political process assumes about us. And there's so much that just gets assumed, and there's so many perspectives that don't get shared. And we want to take it upon ourselves as dispatchers from the underground to talk about those assumptions that everybody's missing. I'll give you an example. Like, why vote at all? Everybody assumes in the mainstream, all these pundits and these talking heads, they just assume that we should vote. Obviously, this is something that people on the underground are talking about all the time, something that doesn't really get reflected upon a ton because people just, they get stuffed back down. They get attacked so much for saying that it's, you know, that maybe we shouldn't vote. And no one in the mainstream really reflects on it. And actually, I don't think there's a ton of reflection on not voting in the underground as well. So we want to talk about this unpopular idea that voting is not healthy. I want to talk about how our perspective on the issues is presented in a stifling and unhealthy way, and how we are only presented with a very limited option of what to change and how to change them. Not sure we're going to get to all of that, but this is especially true because the mainstream media presents politics as facts, right? When so much of it is opinion and editorializing, that's fine. We're going to be doing a ton of fucking editorializing on this show, but we shouldn't pretend that it is anything it isn't. We're not sure we're going to be able to talk about all this stuff, but we're going to be talking about voting. We're going to be talking about how real change is not made inside of voting booths, that politicians are cowards, that they respond to social movements. Politicians aren't leaders. They're not the ones taking charge of movements and making real change. It's the people outside those voting booths who are forcing those politicians in line with them. They're the leaders. Politicians aren't leaders. They're not leading us anywhere. They're simply maintainers. They're status quoers. And nothing in the mainstream talks about this. No one talks about the real dynamic between leadership and led in terms of what social change is happening. And we're just, everything is presented to us in such an ass backwards way. And how, and honestly, I think the voting process inherently does that to us. And the talking heads, the pundits, they reinforce all of that by talking about social responsibility this or voting that or real change this. Anyway, I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself. The first part of this podcast, we're going to be talking about voting, and hopefully we can get some fresh perspectives on the things that the mainstream media is ignoring on these very big questions of whether or not we should even be participating in bourgeois democracy at all. So that's the first part of the episode. And the second part of the episode, we're going to be talking about other things that are going on in the bourgeois politics, mainstream media. We're going to be talking about the impeachment of Donald Trump. We're going to be talking about the primaries. We're going to be talking about what is being ignored by the mainstream media in reference to all of these things, whether the impeachment is worth us thinking about or spending time talking about, whether there's anything in the primaries worth us paying attention to. Look, I know a lot of people out there who listen to this podcast are totally disinterested in bourgeois politics. I appreciate that. I think it's a very fucking good point. I get frustrated with it too. But we're not going to be talking about it in the normal bullshit ways. I think we're going to be talking about it in ways that are exciting and uplifting and in some ways funny. But I hope it has nothing to do with any of the ways you're being presented with mainstream politics in the normal everyday life. So if you're frustrated by the bullshit politics you see every day, hopefully we can turn it on its head and make it somewhat more manageable to deal with. I just don't think we should be ignoring it. We're not going to be ignoring it here on Dispatches in the Underground. We're going to be taking other issues that we've been ignoring for far too long and hopefully digging deep down into them to get some perspective. That's our new goal in 2020. That's what we're going to be doing here on this episode. That's why Lauren is on this show today. I hope everybody who has been listening and digging Dispatches for the last couple of years continues to dig what we're doing here on Dispatches in the Underground. We're still going to be doing a ton of interviews. In fact, at the end of the episode today, I'm going to tell you about a couple of interviews that I have coming up in the very near future that are being produced produced right now. The interviews are already done, and they're going to be airing on Dispatches in the very near future. Also, at the end of the episode, we're going to be talking about ways people can participate in Dispatches from the Underground. We got a bunch of tours coming up, shows coming up here in New York City and outside New York City, records coming out. We're going to be talking about ways people can just participate and help out Dispatches from the Underground. We're going to be talking about all that stuff at the very end of the episode, so make sure you listen all the way through to the end. But let's not waste any more time. Let's get down to the discussion between me and Lauren about the state of bourgeois politics in 2020, how underground minds need to be grappling with the fucking issues that are being presented with us in the mainstream, and how we can get a perspective on how to fucking deal with this bullshit and hopefully take all these political excitement that everyone has in the mainstream and convert it into some fucking real change that can actually make it different for people in this world. So let's get to it. We're going to listen to some tunes and we're going to have a discussion about bourgeois politics with Lauren. Get down. Okay, before we get to that discussion, I want to play a tune here at the top of the episode. This is from an incredible band here in New York City called Maafa. That's spelled M-A-A-F-A, Maafa. They're an incredible band here in New York City. My band, Cop Out, is going to be playing with Maafa at the People's Power Assembly and a whole night centered around hating the cops. And we're going to be playing Friday, February 7th, at the Solidarity Center. I think it's like 147 West 24th Street. That's the Solidarity Center, February 7th. It's going to be an incredible night. PPA is an incredible organization. We're going to have a lot of good times. There's going to be some DJs. There's going to be a bunch of fucking super cool shit, a lot of rad people. And this band is going to be playing that night. This is Maafa. This is from the 2017 demo. I love the whole thing. I wish they would put out some more tunes, but I'm sure that's coming in the very near future. This is the last track on that 2017 demo called Not Your Exotic. You can get that on maafahardcore.bandcamp.com. This is Not Your Exotic by Maafa. Get down.
You tag on to my face, my magic is sacred. I will refuse, not for your seduction on this player despair. Respect my autonomy, don't touch my hair. Make no joke with me, what's below my waist. Not your exotic, not your erotic. Trapped in your violence, I want out of this cage. Not your exotic, not your erotic, yeah. Your queen of darkness, a sassy black girl with an attitude. Forgive misogynistic, sexist, violent, racist, fetish, let's tell the truth. It's pathological, it's predatory, caging us like animals, when let's do. Make no trophy of me, or what's below my waist. Not your exotic, not your neurotic. Shackling your violence, I went out of this cage. Not your exotic, not your neurotic, you.
What's up?
Nothing. How you doing, Joey?
I'm terrible. How are you?
I'm all right.
Oh, good. Why are you doing well? What's going on?
I just got back from vacation, so I'm a little bit rested, but also a little bit exhausted.
You seem exhausted today. I'm not going to lie. You seem tired, but it also might just be me. It might just be like me seeing you, and now you're like, oh, God, there he is again. He never stops.
Nah, it's just a jet lag.
Okay, yeah. My wife says the same thing when she never even takes a flight. She's like, oh, God. I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, it's a jet lag. You didn't go anywhere. You fucking been sleeping all day. I listen to these political podcasts nonstop. Like, I'm not like extreme right-wing ones or extreme left-wing ones, because I can't listen to either one of those. Although, so every once in a while, I listen to like Pod Save America, which is not extreme left-wing, but like you know, left of the Democratic Party progresses. And I can't listen to more than like 2 minutes of it because I get so infuriated by it. But I listen to a lot of mainstream political podcasts, and you know, it's just like I just can't handle where we are and like the nonstop barrage of like the things that the mainstream just takes for granted in everyday life, like, you know, the flag waving, American citizen, voting things that constantly they're just like, even like NPR is just like beating me over the fucking head with. And I listen to it, so like I realize I'm doing this to myself. Go ahead. Yeah, you're fucking like rolling your eyes nonstop at me. That's
well,
fine.
Just that might be the cause of you feeling terrible all the time.
That was the eye roll? That's why you're rolling your eyes at me?
Like you're kind of self-inflicting this feeling.
Yeah, obviously I'm like fucking doing all these things to myself and I hate myself and everyone listening hates me too. It's fine.
It's just hard to give you sympathy.
A word. Yeah, I could put that on my fucking tombstone. It was really hard to give him sympathy. Yeah, it's great. But I can't stop. Like that's another thing. He couldn't stop on a tombstone. Anyway, I can't stop listening to this stuff. And I feel like this is our time. We have this podcast. And I think this is our chance to like just like fly in the face of some of the things that the mainstream takes for granted. You know, and the one main big thing, which obviously everyone's going to fucking crucify me for, is the fact that I don't vote. Look, I don't go on stage and like preach not voting to people. I appreciate the fact that I'm a cis white dude. I appreciate the fact that my, you know, family members and relatives never had to fight for that right to vote. And it's like taking for granted a lot of shit when I give up that. I understand that and I appreciate that. And I appreciate that that's not for everybody because I believe in empowerment. And that's why I'm not telling other people what to do with their power. But I also think empowerment is important. And I feel like the voting process in this country is just endlessly disempowering. The act of voting, the act of going into a fucking room and believing all the bullshit you heard on your dumb fucking podcast. Not this podcast.
Just all the other ones that Joey listens to.
Yeah, all the other podcasts that are dumb fucking podcasts. Or, you know, the news shows that you watch, the 24-hour news channels you watch, whichever side you participate in with CNN or Fox. I just feel like when you go into that lever and you pull the lever for the name that you've been told to pull the name for, like constantly.
I don't think there's a lever anymore.
Oh, there's no levers.
Not the last time
I
voted.
Oh, then my whole argument's totally fucking blown out the window.
Yeah, you just hated the levers.
Oh, the levers are really the main problem. Whatever you're doing, pushing the button, I don't know, singing the song for whoever you got to sing the song for. I just think that that people are giving up the vast majority of their political power in that moment. And I think it is a singularly disempowering act. And it makes me sick. I just can't stand it. I hate the whole process. I hate everything. And I don't understand why no one agrees with me.
All right. Well, I don't fully agree with you.
I'm fucking deleting that, dude.
All right, you can edit that later.
Yeah, I'm going to edit that out.
I've got no power over your editing.
I fully agree with you. That's how it's going to sound. That's how it's exactly going to sound.
Well, my main issue is that a lot of people use that as their only political act. A lot of people go in. They go in for that sticker mainly that's so they can post it all over social media. Sticker. They leave it on for a few days just to show everybody. And I feel like if there weren't stickers, half the people wouldn't vote, to be honest.
Oh, maybe I'll get a roll of stickers and just stand outside and be like, hey, don't go vote. Here, just take a sticker. And then people just fucking pass away. Go right past it.
And that is how Joey's going to get arrested next.
Is that arrestable? I don't even know.
Probably. Just like how you can't campaign like right outside of there. I'm pretty
sure
you can't
give away fake stickers.
I'm sure you can't dissuade people from voting outside either.
All right. I'm not going to dissuade people from voting. But I do think, you know, that political pressure of people around you, you know, that you pronouncing that you voted is really disgusting. And I think it's kind of a bully activity. I think it's like we spend no time reflecting on what voting actually is. Like, what is voting? Like, what is it? Like, what are we fundamentally doing in that act? Lauren rolled her eyes at me again. I'm fucking joking.
I don't know how to answer your question right now.
Well, okay, so I'll answer.
It wasn't an eye roll. It was more of a, I don't know how to answer this.
There was a fucking eye roll. Like, there's no television. There's no cameras in here, folks. But, like, there was a huge fucking big old eye roll that just happened at me. Like, what is that act? When someone goes in and whatever, pulls a lever. It's, like, a lot cooler if they're pulling levers, but whatever they're doing.
We'll bring back the lever.
Yeah, bring back the lever. Like, what is that? I see it in a very particular way, I guess, but like, how does a normal average person see it? They see it as their political duty, as like the height of their political duty is to go in there and be a citizen of this country. It's the height of their responsibility, pretty much, right? Am I wrong?
I mean, I guess that's how a lot of people view it. Yes, I agree with that.
And they see it as electing the person who's going to do their political will. Like, they're giving a mandate to this person who best represents their ideas and that will go forth and make the changes and ensure the future for them and their other citizens around them.
Yeah, I think that was the base idea. I don't think that's what it actually is, but I think that was the intention of it.
And that's how people essentially see it.
Yeah.
And it's just so disgusting to me on so many levels. First of all, the idea of just being an American disgusts me. Mm-hmm. But also the idea that those people even have ideas. Like, they're so disempowered every day in their jobs by capitalists, by people with money, by television ads, by, you know, an education system that fucking massively disempower students and lectures at them all day and then tells them to go reiterate that stuff on a bullshit test. Like, everything is set up for them to be disempowered. And then they're told one day they have one political act that is the height of their responsibility and their political responsibility, and then to go act on it. It's just completely backwards.
Yeah.
And the idea that they even have ideas, like, they don't have ideas. You people out there don't have any ideas. Lauren is just disgusted.
Yes.
Disgusted by me.
Yeah, a little.
People have ideas. I mean, obviously people have ideas. I'm being a little bit provocative here, but the vast majority of people, you listen to these other fucking dumbass podcasts because you listen to the way they're interviewed. They don't even know what they want, because how could they?
Yeah. I mean.
Like, what do you want? I guess I want better health care. What the fuck does that mean? Like, you want free healthcare or someone, a better doctor? Or like, they don't even know what they want because they've never been given a chance to reflect on anything.
Yeah,
what ideas could they have?
When you're just like trying to survive, you don't have time to think of those big picture things.
Totally. And fair point, right? So like, here I am sitting in the comfort of my lush studio. Possibly you can hear a barking dog in the background. I'm sure that dog is living the most privileged dog life possible. You know, and it's like easy for me to talk about these lofty ideas when other people are just grinding away, hoping to get some better health care or hoping that the state just doesn't steal more rights from them. Mm-hmm. So like, I appreciate that. But the fact that the state has like kept its foot on our necks, capitalism, I'm going to talk about the state, capitalism.
Yeah.
And like, intellectually, sociologically, like, disempowered us from understanding anything. And then it tells us, oh, hey, go and vote. It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, go and vote when you don't really know what half the issues are. And that's being generous when I say half the issues at this point.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
Why you have, like, those big button issues where it's like,
I think lever
either
issues, actually.
Huh?
Lever issues.
Lever issues, yeah.
Sorry, big button issues. Go ahead.
You know, especially, like how abortion is always in the forefront. Because people are looking at that, it's like, well, I'm going to vote for them because they're anti-abortion. Like, God doesn't believe in abortion, that's it. All the other issues are just out the window. Maybe because they, you know, they don't know better, or that's just all they care about. I don't really know, but that's why I feel like people get so focused on things like that, and they don't realize that they're being disenfranchised with all of the other things that those candidates stand for.
And the fact that abortion is even like the hot button issue, as you say it, right? Because like, how many people are getting aborted? Like, obviously that there's a huge number, and because of the 70s and abortion is super important, I believe people should have the right to have abortions as birth control, frankly. I think it's ridiculous. But really what we're talking about is women having control of their bodies. Really what we're talking about is a misogynistic society that depicts women in these really, you know, objectifying ways. That's really what we're talking about. Like, let's put that up for the vote, mm-hmm. right? Let's put those other huge issues up for vote, but they get narrowed down to these small, teeny tiny issues, or like gun control. Why is gun control the issue, right? They're like, the capitalists have decided that these narrow section of topics are really the issues that we want to talk about.
Because those are the ones that people get emotional about. And when you get emotional about something, you can't think as clearly. And that way, you know, the people that actually are in charge and actually have the power, they can do all these other things that people aren't looking at because they're focused on these, like, emotional issues.
But why do they get emotional about those topics? They get emotional about those topics because they're told to get emotional about those topics.
I would say with the abortion one, it goes down to a lot of religion things. And as you can tell by looking at history since the beginning of time, that's, you know, caused how many wars, how many other issues. That's always going to be an issue when you bring religion into it.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair point. But like, let's say gun control, because I don't get gun control at all. So why are people emotional about gun control?
That part I don't really get. That has to be some sort of a spin because I don't get them. Like, I don't see it as an emotional thing either. But I guess it gets spun as like their rights getting taken away.
Yeah, the crazy people's rights being taken away. Look, I want people to have guns. Go have a million guns. As long as the cops have guns, everyone else should have guns.
You shouldn't have a gun, though.
Oh no, my wife won't let me have a gun, but I fucking want one. But
oh, God, no.
I got a bunch of knives here though, just in case.
Okay, so all the knives are on Joey's side of the studio right now. Feels super safe.
I guess I shouldn't just brought those out. I don't know. It's a little bit.
They were like, he didn't even have to move. And he's holding two knives.
I put them down. I put them down quickly.
I know.
But I do have two of them right here. They're very big. People are passionate about the issues that those in power and the capitalists want them to be passionate about. So they run the stories about them endlessly and they tell people to be passionate about those. I'm not saying gun violence isn't a real issue. I'm not saying people in Baltimore who are, you know, endlessly afraid of more gun violence, those aren't real issues for folks. But I'm saying is, why isn't poverty something they're passionate about? Why isn't that on the ballot? Like, why aren't people voting about the fact that capitalism is fucking, you know, like just endlessly crushing their life into these fucking tiny moments that they can live between like 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. That's the only time for them to be human beings, or like living on a weekend. Like, why aren't those things what we're really talking about? The fact that you can only be, you know, like you were talking about before, like people are so exhausted from their day-to-day life that they don't have a chance to really be thinking about these other heavy issues that are really going on. Why aren't those the issues that we're talking about?
I mean, I feel like our country is so much further behind, like, a lot of developed nations countries. I mean, you look at, you know, different places in Europe, they've got, like, the 36-hour work week. People have time to think about those issues. They're much better off than we are here. And I feel like that's where the government adds in, like, the mass, like, nationalism and patriotism. You know, don't look at any of the facts, but America is still the best nation. And then you just have, like, the blinded, you know, faith in the government with flying flags and, you know, shooting off fireworks and all the other bullshit.
It's just so ridiculous. Can you even imagine Lauren having a 36-hour work week?
That would be amazing. You know, mine is usually double that.
Yeah, everyone's is double that. We're supposed to have a fucking 8-hour day fucking law that people fought and died for and the bourgeoisie gave to us like a long, long time ago after the Haymarket Square riots. And like now the idea of a 36-hour work week is just like, it's double. It's 70-hour work weeks. Everyone's working 70-hour work weeks.
You know, and then there's still people against like raising the minimum wage when you have to do double that just to survive.
Yeah, I just think, you know, look, we're getting a little bit down a rabbit hole on this issue, right? But here's the thing. Everyone has these huge expectations of participating in this very narrow process. And that very narrow process is compounded by the fact that they're told about issues on a very narrow basis by news sources that have a very narrow bandwidth, figuratively and maybe less literally, whatever. But like, it's just narrowing upon narrowing upon narrowing. It's like funneling upon funneling upon funneling. And then you end up with this fucking sticker that no one has like ever been really reflective about why it's even important. Or like what other political actions they should do in their daily lives. And then they fucking attack me or my friends or the six other people who sincerely say they don't vote when like at least half the country probably doesn't vote. but they're too scared to admit it because they're fucking intimidated by these other browbeating, you know, fucking sticker wearing pricks. I just think that we're not reflective about what is really happening when we go in there and pull that lever or push that button or whatever is really happening in that fucking place. We're not really reflective because we've been trained not to be reflective, and that's all part of the problem. And, you know, I'm just tired of it, and I'm sick of it, and I'm sick of the podcasts and, you know, everybody else out there who's rocking the vote and telling everyone to fucking participate when they don't really see what participating means. And I think if you think about that 50% of the country that doesn't vote, and for, you know, maybe I'm making excuses about why they don't participate. Maybe they're just exhausted. Maybe this is what Lauren's talking about. Like they're just exhausted and they don't want to go and waste more time in a system they have no hope of participating in. But the idea that they're going to like give a stamp of approval to what this system does to them is disgusting. And people know that and they feel it and they don't want to participate in it. And I don't want to participate in it for the same reasons, but also I don't want to give up my one like shred of power that I feel like I have to be my own person and to believe my own thoughts and live my own ideas to then designate this piece of shit who's going to go out there and talk about issues that I don't care about. Maybe there's some that I agree with him on, or there's going to give me more like scraps of bread that I can get by my daily activities. And then ultimately I will consider myself a citizen of this country and then be responsible for like the shame of the actions it takes in the world. And I think ultimately that's what voting is. It's about weaving everybody into the fabric of America and getting them invested in the decisions of the people who uphold that flag. I don't uphold that flag. I don't want to be invested in their fucking interests. I will do everything I can within my power that won't put me in prison to to not participate in that. And I think voting is part of that. I don't know. Maybe I'm off the rails. No one's even understand what the fuck I'm talking about. That's fine. You know, that's fine too. Lauren made some good points too. So I feel like at least I feel like Lauren, you could just cut all my bullshit out. Lauren might have made sense. All right. Anyway, we're not going to talk about this all day. We're going to talk about the actual electoral, like people who are involved in the primary for a second. As disgusted I am in the voting process, we are going to talk about that a little bit and like maybe what a little bit of that says in this, because I have some other things that you're going to fucking hate to hear.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right, Lauren, but I'm gonna give you the last word, though, because I know I'm annoying and you don't agree with me. For the people who are out there and handing out stickers and borderline going to punch me in the face because I don't vote, is there anything you can say to them to dissuade them from spitting it in my mouth as I argue with them about why I think voting is a disempowering and ultimately bad act?
Well, I don't know if I'm actually going to answer your question because I think they all pretty much hate you. Yeah, but I will say to them that I am fine with what they're doing personally, giving, you know, voting, doing whatever. But that should also, again, be the bare minimum that you're doing. And just because you go in and do that doesn't mean that you're done politically. That's just the start of what you need to do. And going in and voting and or handing out stickers or getting other people to vote is the bare minimum you should be doing day to day.
Word. All right. Again, just listen to what Lauren said. I fucked up. She's much better than me. All right. Get down. I mentioned this earlier on the episode, but on February 7th here in New York City, my band Cop Out is going to be playing a show with Maafa, who we played earlier. The whole night is going to be put on by the People's Power Assembly. It's going to be centered around hating the cops. It's a wonderful, wonderful organization, a wonderful night of fun. And I wanted to play a song from my band Cop Out. We just released this vinyl. Well, actually, it's been out for a little bit. It's been out since November, but we finally actually have the vinyls, and we're going to be sending them out for people who pre-order them, and they're going to be available for you to order more. If you go to dispatchersfromtheunderground.com, you can order them on our merch page. The split we did with a band from Portland, the band's called Groundscore. The split is called Hindsight 2020, and this is the first tune on that album. It's called Abandon. I think it speaks for itself. It's all pretty clear, but it's a short little ditty about getting past our bullshit families and finding something better in the underground. So I feel like it's pretty good for 2020. So here it is from Hindsight 2020, our brand new split. Here's Cop Out. You can get it on our Bandcamp page, copout, PUNX, copoutpunks.bandcamp.com, or on the Dispatch from the Underground merch page. Either way, it's Cop Out. Get down. Okay, let's take a second here and let's decompress, because I know everybody probably turned off after that first fucking half of the podcast where I was like, Joey's telling us not to vote. First of all, not exactly what I'm saying. I'm just saying what I think is objectively true about this being, it being a disempowering process, but that's all part of what capitalism does. Whatever. You can go back and listen to that, my ramblings on the last fucking part. Let's talk about the election and the impeachment, which is like what we're knee-deep in right now, because while I don't participate in electoral politics, I do follow it very carefully and am very concerned about it, in the sense that I'm curious about the issues that are coming up and talking to people about these topics. So, you know, I don't think it's hypocritical to not participate and also follow. I think it's actually my responsibility to do that. Although I do realize that some people out there don't feel the same way as I do about following electoral politics. So some people might be like, oh, I don't give a fuck about any of this, Joey. Like, that's the only good thing about not voting is we don't have to listen to the fucking Bernie Sanders and fucking Elizabeth Warren speeches.
Okay, so I will be completely honest. I'm not in the I don't give a fuck boat, but I haven't been following it because I have been out of the country for about a month and taken advantage of the fact that I have been out of the country for about a month. So I'm just getting right back into this.
So Lauren has missed all the excitement around impeachment. I don't know if you know this, Lauren, but you're president. Has been impeached.
I did know that.
And he is now on trial as of this recording. We're recording this on the 20th or something like that. 22nd. And I think now he has, the impeachment trial has begun. For those people who didn't watch any of the House hearings, they were fucking hilarious. Like, you can't see, like, there's nowhere else you could see like representatives getting unhinged. Like, it's like remember those fucking shitty movies from like the 90s, like Girls Go Wild or whatever the fuck, and like the Cops Go Wild, or those fucking shows where people are like in Mardi Gras and they throw them beads and they're like showing them their bosoms.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to encourage people to go watch those. I'm not trying to encourage people to watch those movies, but this is like Congress Goes Wild. It's fucking awesome. Like, the shit that they would say was just, like, totally hilarious. It was just, like, as brutal as it gets. And, you know, while the Republicans are willing to, like, call their base into being fucking crazy, disgusting white supremacists standing on the fucking, the streets of Virginia this past week holding machine guns, the Democrats are always afraid to, like, call their base out to get excited about anything. Everybody in the Democratic Party is afraid to, like, just like get their base fired up, except for Bernie Sanders. Everybody's like terrified to get their base fired up. But seeing these House hearings where like Democrats are like fucking frothing at the mouth, like ready to punch a Republican, it was cathartic. I'm like, oh, this is cool. I can get into this. This is great.
They were all channeling you a little bit.
Yeah, like, hey, fucking let me fucking help you out, guys. Like, bring me on board, dude. I could help you guys out. Like, let's throw some punches. Let's do this shit right. But you know, the impeachment process has begun. Like, you know, I know you haven't been like neck deep in the particularities, but the particularities of this impeachment they're kind of fucking boring and no one really cares. Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's two fucking indictments. You know, they're based on interference in Ukraine and blah, blah, blah. The Congress being impeded and fucking issuing of subpoenas and not responding to the subpoenas and not allowing people to. Who gives a fuck? What I really want to know is, overall, impeachment, like, for people who are interested in electoral politics, it doesn't seem like a lot of people are interested in this impeachment process. Do you think, Lauren, that this is, you know, that this impeachment is even worth like taking our time to think about, or is it just another fucking part of the bullshit process?
I mean,
are you excited about it?
I'm intrigued by it. I don't know if excited is the right word, but I think it's intriguing. I'd like to see where it actually ends up.
Well, none of us really know what intriguing means, so we're all going to say basically it means exciting, because we're all, that's a fucking 10-cent word, and we're 5-cent minds here, okay? So, okay, so you can interpret that how you want, but you're excited. You're excited.
Sure, I'm excited. I'm excited. I mean, it doesn't happen that often, so it's kind of exciting.
Do you remember the, I'm old enough to remember the fucking Clinton impeachments. Do you remember these? How old were you? You were like fucking 7 years old.
What year did that happen?
Who knows? 99, okay, well, I think. Yeah. Okay. No, that's not true. It's not 99, was it?
No, it wasn't 99.
No, it had to be before that. Who fucking knows?
I think it was like 97.
It could have been 99. 96. Yeah, it was 99 was fucking, God damn it. Okay. Fuck you people.
I feel like
I'll delete that.
I need to know.
No, you know what? I'm gonna leave that in because this is reiterating my point. Okay. No one fucking cares.
Okay, so I remember 99. Hearing about it, but I wasn't old enough to understand what was going on even in the slightest. Like, I think I was still in elementary school.
That's wild. I'm so fucking old. but, you know, there was a lot of hoopla around, speaking of being old, no one even knows what that word means. There was a lot of business around people talking about how this was a big deal. No one fucking cares. Half this country wants that fucking douchebag impeached. Half this country is so brain dead they fucking follow his every word.
Who's the last president that actually got impeached, though?
Clinton was impeached. Yeah, he was.
No, he went through the processes, but he wasn't actually impeached.
So impeachment, not to get too bogged down on the details of this, but from my understanding it is, impeachment means the indictment. So the indictment is from the House. Clinton did get impeached, but he didn't get removed from office, which is the trial.
Okay.
So he did get impeached. So did Andrew Johnson. I don't remember. I can't remember how these fucking names.
From
a long time ago who fucked up Reconstruction and was a racist pile of shit, more so than the other racist piles of shit who've been president. He was impeached, and Clinton was impeached, but no one has ever been removed from office.
Okay.
Nixon wasn't impeached, but he was removed from office.
Okay.
He resigned from office. He wasn't removed.
So nobody's actually ever been removed from office yet.
As far as I know.
Yeah, I don't think so either. That's what I was trying to remember. So that would be interesting to see. I think that's why I'm interested and or excited about this, to see what happens. Because it's a process that's been created, but never one that's been fully realized.
I think it's exciting in the sense that, you know, like these congressmen, and women now are unhinged. I like that. I like seeing them fucking get frothed at the mouth a little bit. But no one believes that he's going to be removed from office. Like the Senate is almost certainly not going to remove him from office. The vote is never going to happen. Mitch McConnell, who's running the Senate, isn't going to allow that to happen. And there's a majority of Republicans in the Senate. So there's almost no chance of a removal from office. They would need 66 or something like that, 67 votes,
mm-hmm.
and they only have 46 or something like that. So there's just no chance of that happening.
So I guess then what's the point?
I feel like this is why I'm excited about it, or intrigued as you were. I'm excited and intrigued because nothing could make the voting process, not to go back to the first segment, but nothing could make like this country look as much of a joke as it is than Donald Trump. Like, he has taken us all into the mud and just like showed us what this mud wrestling thing called democracy really is all about. And it's just so hilarious. Like, they're fucking talking about the stupidest shit. Like, they're trying to get the Ukrainians to help Trump keep Biden from taking office. Ukraine? Ukraine, it literally has a comedian president. Like, he's actually a comedian who became president.
Well, ours is a reality star.
Ours is a joke. He's not a comedian.
I know.
You know, and so I just think that, like, democracy couldn't look any more like a joke. Like, the Democrats couldn't beat Trump with Hillary Clinton. So they're trying to get him impeached now. And this whole process just looks so fucking dumb. Why do it? I just think it's great because it shows what a fucking stupid
It's literally turned into reality TV.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I feel like finally the shoe's on the other foot. Like everyone's like, why don't you vote or why don't you participate? I'm like, why do you? What a fucking joke. Like, could it be any more ridiculous of a process to have these people like slandering each other about this stupid bullshit?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. It's, you know, so I think that's great. But yeah, there's no reason like this. It's all, you know, like a kabuki theater. It's all like it's all just to make a lot of hubbubaloo about something that no one cares about. Like, he's not going to get removed. He's not going to be convicted. And so it's just political theater.
I mean, I guess, do you think maybe they're doing it so he's got less of a chance in the next election cycle? Because that's the only thing I could think of, like, there being a gain out of it. If he's actually not going to get removed or convicted, then it would just, I'm guessing their idea is that it's going to be in detriment to the next election.
Yeah, I think they're doing it because they want to, like, say that they want to, like, put an asterisk next to his presidential accomplishments or lack of accomplishments.
You mean there already wasn't one?
There wasn't one technically, I guess. You know, I guess, kidding. Like, losing the popular vote wasn't enough of an asterisk, I guess. But, I think that they, you know, Nancy Pelosi and other folks have said, like, you know, you can't take this back. He's one of the three people who've been impeached, and now it's like a black mark on your record. Like, this guy gives a fuck about records.
He's
a fucking bankrupt millionaire. It's a pretty tough thing. This guy gives a shit about records.
He's been bankrupt a couple times, yeah, too, right? It's like, no shame.
I don't think, let me ask you this, Lauren. Do you think that he's going to get elected again?
Oh, God, that's really tough. I would like to say no, but honestly, I'm 50-50 because I've met a lot of dumbasses that think he is still the best.
If there's one thing America has no shortage of, it's fucking dumbasses.
I know, like, so that's
fucking,
why I'm a little
we're the kings of that.
I'm a little not sure if, you know.
I'm pretty sure he's going to get elected again. I think that we have constantly we're constantly overestimating the intelligence of Americans and underestimating the backward sentiment of the vast majority of people. The economy's strong for whatever fucking reason, and people want there to be no one rocking the boat, so they're going to take him. And, you know, they might talk about how he's a misogynist and, you know, all these things that he's a piece of shit about, but ultimately they want him in power because they don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah.
So I think he'll get elected again, but, you know, whatever the impeachment process, I hope people out there watch a little bit more of it because it is fucking hilarious.
Now that I'm back, I'm going to have to watch some of these videos.
And please cut through all what they're actually saying because none of it actually matters, but just watch it how hinge. Honestly, the House stuff was actually better because now in the Senate, like, no one can actually talk. So the only people who can talk are like the lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
But John Roberts, who is the Chief Justice, he actually admonished the Senate today for the Democrats and Republicans having bad behavior, which is kind of exciting too. Like, they're all getting yelled at by the teacher.
They're getting reprimanded.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So I hope people aren't getting swept away in the process, but at least can appreciate how fucking terrible it makes their democracy look.
Well, I mean, at least it's getting a little exciting. Like, you see all these videos from, like, places and other, like, parliaments and stuff, like, where people are just going nuts and, like, fist fights are happening. And that's actually very entertaining.
Yeah,
I know we've all seen a few of those videos.
And so much more honest. Like, couldn't it be just much more honest if they did that? Like, come on, dude. Let's fucking do it.
Everybody's holding it all in here and then...
Yeah, it's bullshit. It's total bullshit. All right. Well, let's talk about the primaries because I'm going to talk about it for a second. I know things have dwindled down, and by the time you're listening to this podcast, it might have dwindled down even more. And I know there's this big Iowa thing that people are looking forward to, which is hilarious on its own front because it's just, I just think it's so refreshing to be able to talk about this on a podcast because I listen to so many podcasts where they talk about Iowa. Who gives a fuck about Iowa? I'll answer that for you. Fucking nobody.
Iowa does.
No, people who've been to Iowa or live in Iowa also do not give a fuck about Iowa. It is so unbelievably boring. It is so fucking boring. Everyone I've met in Iowa is like, yo, why'd you come to Iowa? I'm like, oh, yeah, exactly. Iowa's fucking boring. Like, I don't know. I just think that it's hilarious that people are so focused on the political thoughts from this fucking stupid-ass fucking state. But
sorry to everybody that lives in Iowa.
No, actually, if you're listening to Dispatches in the Underground and you're filled with Iowan pride, please message me. You can. The easiest way to get a hold of me is by looking up Lauren on Facebook and sending her the message, and then she'll forward them to me.
Great. Yeah. I'm going to change my profile to private now.
Yeah. No, but okay. So we're going into this primary bullshit. And, you know, I'm excited, not because I care about who wins, but because it's just so insane. First of all, I do think Bernie's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you
explain why you think he's interesting?
Are you passionate about someone in this primary? I think Bernie's interesting because Bernie is the only Democrat in my lifetime who's ever excited a base of Democrats. You know, and like I said earlier in the podcast, the only other person I could think of that did this was maybe Howard Dean in the 90s and McGovern in the 60s and 70s. And both of them lost their primary. Both of them lost. McGovern won his primary, but the second time. And he changed the way primaries function. But he lost massively. I think in the actual election, he only won two states.
Oh.
Yeah. To Nixon. That's a fucking pretty big loss. God. Yeah. So, you know, he was kind of a far left Bernie like type candidate. He won two states in the actual election. He did win the primary that year. And I think if Bernie wins, it's going to be a very similar situation, a very McGovern like situation. But it is interesting to see Bernie like pushing issues that other Democrats haven't pushed, you know, to, you know, healthcare for all, like pushing it so fervently, talking about poverty. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders talks about poverty, you know, and I think that that's exciting to hear, although I think it's hypocritical of him to participate in the number one thing that's caused poverty in the world, mm-hmm. the American government, and then talk about ending poverty here. But, you know, whatever. So I do think there are some interesting things he brings up.
I'm shocked in the fact that like people think like healthcare for all is such a far-fetched thing.
Why is that?
Because so many other countries have made it happen. I get that it's because we are probably the most capitalistic of all of them, and not having healthcare available to everybody makes more money for privatized sectors. But if we got rid of that, which again, I have no idea how to do that. So many other countries make it work, and medical debt is something that actually causes poverty.
Well, you sound like a Warren and Sanders fan, so you might want to listen to them more, because that sounds like the stump speech of Bernie Sanders a little bit. But, you know, look, he's not going to win. I think it's exciting that he's calling himself a socialist, although, I don't know. I would never call myself – I'm a communist. I would never call myself a socialist. I don't really understand what a socialist is other than someone who thinks that they're a communist but refuses to call himself it. But whatever. You know, I think it's promoting something that, you know, it's less likely I'm going to get killed on the street by some right-wing person because he's got other people out there who are calling him social. So I feel good about that.
That's good.
Yeah, that makes me happy. But ultimately, do you think there's any chance that a socialist becomes president of the United States of America?
Not this election.
Although, did we think that there was any chance for a reality TV star with half a brain to become a president of the United States of America? I mean, did you think Trump was going to win?
I didn't at first, but then as we got closer to it, I had a feeling. I mean, look at how enthralled this country is with reality TV.
Yeah.
That part's not that surprising.
I do love reality TV. But can't wait for the people who've been on The Bachelor to start running for president. That's going to be exciting.
Oh, my God. Please tell me you don't watch The Bachelor.
Oh, my God. I watch The Bachelor every single week.
You do not.
I do. I do watch The Bachelor. And let me explain to you why I watch The Bachelor. Okay?
I'm never going to take you seriously ever again.
I watch The Bachelor every single week, and I will tell you why I watch The Bachelor.
All right.
First of all, my wife loves it.
Okay.
And for none of the same reasons I do.
Shocking.
Two, so she made me watch it first. And two, it is so interesting to see how normal, cracker-ass, fucking nerd-ass, fucking bourgeois couples interact with each other. Like, the dynamic, like, it's something I've never participated in because I've always been in relationships as, like, a hardcore leftist. So, like, seeing the inside of... you know, whatever. I know it's like TV, but like the inside of like this relationship is so fucking disgusting and so absolutely mortifying how little they talk about their own ideas or dreams or aspirations or hopes or thoughts, and how fucking vapid and superficial all these people are. I find it like an incredible sociological experiment. I just can't get enough of it. I love watching The Bachelor. I think that it is the pinnacle of how horrible our society is in terms of like the thing that we value most, relationship. Like our relationship is like the thing Americans value most, like their family. That's the basis of their family, is this fucking terrible, miserable, empty, heartless, like superficial, disgusting courtship. Unbelievable.
Okay, I will say I've never watched The Bachelor.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. I've actually gone to bars in New York City and asked them if I can host a Bachelor watching night where we fucking watch The Bachelor and comment on it.
And that's never happened.
No one's taken me up on it. I'm not really sure why they don't want me to comment on The Bachelor. I think it'd be terribly entertaining.
That is the only way I will watch The Bachelor.
I love it. So you know what, though? Here's the thing. The Bachelor and the primaries are very similar, right? So, like, there is a ton of crossover here. First of all, it's all a show. Second, it's incredibly superficial. Like, you know, you have people walking around. These candidates are going state to state giving the same fucking speech they give in every other place. And you have this fucking nerd-ass bachelor going around from date to date having the same interactions. Like, I like you. Smile, kiss, bikini, beach shot. Yay, let's ride a horse. It's the same fucking date every time. Like, so it's the same date. It's the same fucking stump speech. Nothing changes, but he falls in love with one of them at the end. Like, it makes no sense why someone is picked over the other. And in the primaries, they're all saying mildly the same things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this huge debate and conversation about who's more electable or who's, you know, I don't want to go down the Bachelor road anymore because
that was something I was not expecting to talk about.
I wasn't going to go on that road either. But I just think that, you know, the process by which these decisions are made is so empty. And, you know, I watched all the debates. Some of them got kind of exciting, and there was some ideas, you know, put out in some of them. Mostly, though, people are agreeing, and it really is frustrating, like, the things people talk about. Again, Bernie's talking about poverty, so it's, like, a little tough, but I feel like people are mostly missing the point. You know, they're missing, like, the big issues that everyone agrees with. Anyway, let's talk about Elizabeth Warren for a second.
Okay.
Because I'll say something controversial as opposed to my Bachelor comments, which were fucking totally not controversial at all. I think if Elizabeth Warren, and I've said this to friends before and they have no longer talked to me, I think if Elizabeth Warren wins, this has nothing to do with gender. This is not to say Amy Klobuchar, if she wins, this is not true. This is not the same. Or if Hillary Clinton, this wouldn't be true either. I think it would set us back in the left a long way. And this is why. Because someone who's so outspokenly a capitalist, who gets up there and says, she says over and over again, I'm a capitalist, I'm a capitalist, I'm a capitalist. If she gets up there and she has 4 years to run, there's so many leftists who are going to look up to her. Some for good reasons. You know, she being the first female president, like, I can appreciate that. You know, that's an important thing to a lot of people, and I don't want to take away from that. And it kind of breaks my heart to, like, be saying these things, but I still think they're objectively true. If she wins, and she's going to talk so many more people into saying that capitalism is a good, positive thing. And it's terrifying to me. I'm terrified because obviously people are capitalists, but, like, to have someone who's espousing it so hard, and obviously she's saying it because she doesn't want to get lumped in with Bernie. She doesn't want to be considered a socialist and all these other things. She wants to be appealable to the mainstream, you know, middle America, who's afraid of communists or whatever else. But if she appeals to young, you know, leftists, not radicals, but leftists, she's going to be wedding them to believe in capitalism. And that is scary to me.
I would agree with that.
You and me are the only two people. Again, please forward your hate mail to Lauren at Facebook.
Lauren at Facebook. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes, use that email address right there.
At Facebook.com for sure. It'll totally get in touch with her. But, you know, is the symbolism of there being a first woman president, does that outweigh the dangers of her being?
No. I'm not even going to let you finish your sentence.
Sweet. I hate my sentence too.
No, I don't hate it, but I mean,
I hate it. Yeah, I hate it.
I just, you know, I don't think it's a good enough reason to vote just on gender, or for that matter, to vote for somebody because they don't want a woman president. Like, gender, should it matter if you don't agree with the politics behind it? And if the politics that she has are going to set it back further, I don't think it's more important that we have a female president.
On the other side, it's not like Biden isn't a capitalist, right? He's obviously a capitalist. It's not like Mayor Pete. I fucking so embarrassed when I say that guy's fucking name, Mayor Pete. It's so stupid. It's not like Pete Buttigieg isn't a capitalist. It's not like Bernie Sanders isn't a capitalist. These people are all capitalists.
Yeah.
But when you espouse it so vehemently, like with such rigor, that's what I'm afraid of, is that, like, you know, even obviously Donald Trump is a capitalist, but he's, you know, I'm not really worried about him disenfranchising leftists from the word capitalism. That's not too worried. In fact, it'd be kind of good if he said it more, actually.
Exactly.
I think the danger is real. You know, I will say that most of the people I've talked to about this think I'm a fucking asshole for bringing it up. I've been told that I need to shut the fuck up on these fronts, and that, you know, it's this is the first female president, and I shouldn't be saying stuff like that. And I appreciate their point. I think I appreciate their point. You know, the symbolism of Obama being president, maybe that would that outweighed a lot of the other issues that I had with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was overall probably a good thing.
Yeah.
In the long term of things. But if he had been out there, like, beating the drum of capitalism, I don't know. You know, it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what about Mayor Pete? Lauren doesn't even know who he is.
I know who he is, but I don't know enough about him to, you know.
Here's the thing about Mayor Pete. Oh, God, I hate saying that fucking name. Here's the thing about Buttigieg. Is that he's talked about being a vet so much, you know, a veteran so much. And that to me makes me worried. First of all, he's only got... Yeah, there's no fucking way this guy's going to win. Like, I just, you know, it's just ridiculous that a mayor from Indiana is going to become the fucking president of the United States. Like, I don't see how that's possible.
Do you think he's mainly talking about being a veteran just because Trump isn't?
I think it's what the Democratic Party wants. I think the Democratic Party wants more vets to not people who take care of dogs, but, like, you know, they want more veterans. Yeah.
Wow. The fact that you thought you had to say that to me is a little offensive, Joey.
You know, sometimes you get those two words confused, veteran and veterinarian. Those are tough words. The fucking eye rolls, dude. It's like,
you have deserved every eye roll I've given you.
I think the Democratic Party wants this, and I think it's condescending, and I think it's also playing up their patriotism bullshit and fuck this country. I don't know if that needed to be said, but, like, you know, we've had, what, 20 years, over 20 years of fucking endless wars? Not quite. We've had almost 20 years of endless wars, and they want to fucking to trot out the few people who haven't been killed. And fucking, this guy's a murderer. Mm-hmm. This guy's been involved in murdering innocent people in other countries for the profit and privilege of this country. Like, you know, I'm not saying every person who's involved in the military is a pile of shit, but they have some things they need to account for. And I think putting that in the forefront is disturbing to me.
I mean, I think it's one of the things that a lot of people don't really realize, just because we're so removed from the actual wars that are happening in this country. But then when you say, like, it's been almost 20 years, that's definitely well over half my life at this point that this country has been at war. But it's just, it's not something that affects most of us day to day, so it's easy not to think about that.
It breaks my heart when he gets up there and he talks about that stuff, because, you know, you're having someone, obviously this person could be in control of the military, so, like, maybe there's a point that people want to hear that stuff. But I just feel like no one is going to call this guy out for being a murderer. No one's going to be calling this guy out for being involved in the killing of innocent people and the wars in Iraq, where they had no justification for the United States to be there in the first place, to destabilize that entire region. Like, that's not going to be part of this conversation. And it's bullshit that he gets to just trot that out there like it's a plus in his column to be president.
Well, because it is a plus for most people.
Yeah. And I just think it's, like, you know, all the more atrocious.
I mean, you're not going to vote, so he's not aiming at you.
Fair enough, Lauren. I guess I fucking gave away all my credibility there.
But, I mean, it's true. The majority of people that are going to vote will see that as a plus.
Fair enough. I guess it's just watching the primaries and watching these other things, it gets frustrating mostly not hearing things, like, you know, the things that get ignored by what these people say,
mm-hmm.
like the fact that Buttigieg isn't getting called out for that, or the fact that, you know, Biden got called out by Harris a little bit for, you know, his comments about or his thoughts about busing from like the 1960s and 70s or whatever. It was kind of ridiculous. But yeah, this guy's been involved in Democratic, you know, Democratic elections for a long fucking time. Let's say 200 years. Hard to say how exactly old Biden is. He seems like he's probably about 300 years old. Seems like he's been involved in electoral politics for most of his life. So probably about 200 years. Hard to say. Like, it's fucking ridiculous that that person would represent us. There's three people over the age of 70 who are going to represent America.
Yeah, that's insane.
And no, and people are talking about, oh, they're people are like concerned, well, they might be a little too senile to run. Forget about being senile. Fuck whether they're going to die. Should it be that a person who has been okay with what has been going on in this country for 70 years?
Not even just
be
okay.
Running?
They've actually thrived in what has happened if they're in the position to be running,
yeah.
having enough money. So they've actually thrived off of all the fucked up things that have happened.
Like, I'm not trying to be entirely ageist here, okay? Mm-hmm. But the idea, if I meet someone who's old, who's, you know, 70 or older, I want them to be wearing like a Black Panther shirt or like I want their face to be tattooed with like fuck America or like I went to prison for fucking Leonard Peltier or something. Like, I want to know that that person fought for justice. The fact that these fucking old dusty pieces of shit are going to be running this fucking country, the same place they've seen it been the fucking last 70 years. That's horrible. Talk about that, motherfuckers. Anyway, that's probably ageist. I don't know. It's hard to say. Hard to say. All right. Let me ask you this, Lauren. We'll end with this issue. If there was something that the folks in the Democratic Party could talk about that would get you excited as someone who, you know, is political, who's interested in politics, who's conscious, who's clear-headed, who's willing to vote, what would that be? Like, if there's something that would get you excited or intrigued or whatever you want to say enough to actually participate actively, is there something that you can, that you think that they could talk about that you would be like, fucking, let's do this shit. Like Bernie fucking Sanders. Hell yeah. I'm a Bernie bro now. Bernie bros are real, by the way.
I know they're real. I'm sure I've met a bunch of them.
Is there anything you can think of?
Gosh. I mean, there's things that people are talking about that I just don't see happening. I guess my number one issues, being a female in my early 30s, are obviously reproductive rights and healthcare issues in general. I mean, I luckily have insurance, but I had to pay $10,000 out of pocket just the other day with insurance for a necessary medical procedure. So things like that, those are the things that are in my forefront.
Yeah. So people who are bringing those issues more to the forefront and like and really giving you a plan to get them done.
Yeah, I mean, if there's an actual real plan to make it happen, that would be awesome. Because those are so, they affect my life every day.
Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna leave it there. Y'all can reflect and make the choices you want to make, and I guess go rock the vote or rock not voting. I don't care what you do.
Well, I'm gonna say, vote, but don't bully other people for not voting. Can we end on that?
I mean, we could end on that, but I still have a microphone. What if I bully other people to not vote?
I think you.
I
think you already did that, like via this podcast.
No, look, don't bully anybody. Here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing about this podcast. We believe in conscious reflection. I am totally fine with everybody out there disagreeing with me. Lauren disagreed with me right to my face right now. I'm totally comfortable with that. I want people to be conscious and empowered. That's what the goal of this podcast is, and that's what I want people to be doing in their lives. I think that's not the goal of voting. I think voting is the exact opposite of that. But if you feel that voting is a reflection of your conscious and empowering life, then I think it's great. Go and do it. I think you're wrong. But I would never want anyone to be bullied about a political process unless it was like bullying a Nazi or like bullying a misogynist or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, go bully those people to not be the pieces of shit they are. But other than those, I don't think anyone should be bullied.
I mean, you could bully your local government into getting the levers back so Joey might actually vote.
Yeah, bring back the levers. Bring back the levers. All right, all right. Thank you all for indulging us, and we'll see you in hell. Get down. The band All Torn Up is going to be on tour with the Subhumans in April. And when we're in Texas, we're going to be playing a few shows with the Subhumans and another band called FEA. It's a Texas band, F-E-A. So here is a tune from that incredible band from Texas called FEA. Hope you dig it. Get down. That's the end of the episode. I hope you dug the new direction we're going to be taking in 2020. If you do dig it, or if you fucking hate it, either way, I want to hear from you. You can hit us up on Facebook. Just search for Dispatches from the Underground and make sure you see the logo from our page on there. I know there's a couple of dispatches that have similar names. I think there's actually a page that was like Dispatches from the Right Wing Underground that started a couple years after we started our podcast, I think, in opposition to us. So don't accidentally send it to that page. We're Dispatches from the Underground. Anyway, send us a message. You can hit us up there, or you can hit me up on Instagram. I'm Joey Steele, JoeyStelNYC on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, you know, or hit up one of the bands, whatever. We appreciate hearing what you think. If you hate the new direction, let me know. If you dig what we're doing, let me know. Either way, I just like to hear from people. That's what we do, and we want to talk to folks here at Dispatches. If you don't want to do that and you want to hit us up in person, I'm going to be doing a couple of tours in the very near future. One of my bands, All Torn Up, is releasing a new record called Wake. We're going to be on tour with the Subhumans in early April. Going to be doing the Midwest and a little bit into the South, all the way down to Texas. So if you are close to any of those shows that we're doing with the Subhumans and All Torn Up, come out to a show and talk to me. I've been super encouraged by people who've had thoughts and reflections on what we do on Dispatches while I was on tour. It's really nice to hear. So thank you to everybody out there who's done that. Thank you to everybody else who comes up and listens and tells me they do so. Thank you to everyone who just listens in general, whether they like the new direction or not. We are going to be having some new podcasts in the near future that aren't discussion-based, that are more interview-based. Brad Logan from F-Minus and Leftover Crack, and now he's also in the Adolescents. Brad Logan and I did an interview together in December when I was in California. And so that is going to be the next thing we air on Dispatches from the Underground. That interview is already done. It's really fucking exciting. Brad's got a ton of new news to talk to you about things that he's doing. So you're not going to want to miss that episode. Brad's a fucking legend. He's an incredible guitar player and a wonderful human being. And I think you're all going to be excited to hear the things he's working on right now. So that's going to be the next thing. We also have an interview we did with Introspect, an incredible band from California featuring members of Leftover Crack. They've written amazing songs and they're going to be doing more stuff in the near future. So we sat down with them on the West Coast very recently and did an interview with those guys and gals. So we're going to be getting to that in the very near future. And we're still going to be doing a ton more discussion-based podcasts. So there's a lot more coming. Make sure you stay tuned to Dispatches from the Underground. Please, if you dig what we're doing, fucking share this podcast. Copy the link, whatever the fuck you got to do. Let people know you listen. If you hate the podcast, still, it would be great. Post up that you didn't like it and let people know that you listened to it in the first place. Anything you do helps us. There's a merch store. There's a donation page on our website, dispatchersfromtheunderground.com. If you do dig what we're doing and have a little bit of income you can help us get by with, we really appreciate it. We run a very shoestring budget with almost no media promotion. So anything you can give would be a huge fucking help on that front. I want to say thanks to Gabriel and Casey for their donations. I also want to say thanks to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for always promoting Dispatch from the Underground on their incredible programming. We're on every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. at realpunkradio.com. You can always check us out over there. And if you don't want to listen to it on 11 p.m. on Real Punk Radio, we're always at dispatchfromtheunderground.com. You can download us anytime. And we're on most podcast apps as well. So listen however you want. Go to the website. Check out all the things we got going on over there. And until then, get down. Last year, 2019, my band Skullcaster went to Colombia and did a short tour there. And while we were there, we got to hang out with a bunch of crazy motherfuckers in this band, Lupus. We didn't actually have a chance to play with Lupus. They were on hiatus while we were there. But I learned about them while I was there. And I heard a bunch of their music, and I was absolutely fucking blown away by these guys. They're an amazing fucking band. If you ever get the chance to go to Colombia, or for some reason, if they're here in the United States, do not fucking miss these guys. On top of the fact that they're amazing musicians, their frontman is an absolutely, totally bonkers motherfucker, and he's one of the craziest people I've ever met in my life. He's also a fucking genuine sweetheart. So they put on an amazing show. Do not miss this band live. This is a band called Lupus. They're from Bogota, Colombia. Get down.